So, thank you, Laura. Just really quickly, we've met with the applicant a couple of times on this. It's a very big development. It's a, you know, a 10-year build-up. And one of the issues that we identified to them, I think we also identified to you, is that, you know, this sketch plan needs to be more than just sort of five development sites. It needs to be a vision for the character of that street. What is the place of Battery Lane after? How does it transform from where it is to where it will be? So having said that, I will look forward to the discussion.
Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Doug Brennan. I'm with Brown Development, the applicant of this sketch plan. I apologize for my voice. I think I've been in a cold, so it's a little scratchy. And if you can't hear me, just picture me, and I'll try to project a little better. But we're very excited to be here today. It's been a lot of work put into this effort, and we just couldn't be happier about this point in time. The Brown family invested in Battery Lane in the 50s, made a huge investment. It turned out to be a great one for them. Fast forward 60 years later or so, they want to reinvest. They intend to retain some two properties that they're not redeveloping. One's located over here on Wisconsin and Woodmont, one all the way over on the other side at Old Georgetown Road. They'll remain market rate apartments just as they are today. What they want to do is focus on the garden style apartments, red brick buildings on these sites that really need to be replaced with something better. So what is their vision? It's to do a mixed income, multi-generational neighborhood. It's not about a project, it's about a place. I think as Elsa said, it's about the character of this neighborhood. We want to strengthen that character and make a huge improvement to it. And we want to provide a real broad range of housing choices. I should recognize Artie Harris is here from Montgomery Housing Partnership. We have a MOU with them to help us in achieving our affordability goals for this. Our goal is 25% in PDUs as well as range of market rate units from the high end on down to workforce and so forth. Our approach, as explained, was not to come in one site at a time, but to do a comprehensive look at the properties on Battery Lane. We retain three architectural teams. They'll introduce themselves when they come up and talk about the sites that they have been involved with. And this will take place, as explained before, 10 years, 12 years, maybe even longer to implement our vision. So I think this is more about urban design than architecture. Many, many years ago, I was in a panel discussion with an architect, John Jurdy, of the Jurdy Partnership, and he made the statement that while buildings, certainly architecture, contributes to the quality of a place, it's the space between the buildings that makes a great place. So one of those spaces, we have unifying elements. Battery Lane streetscape was mentioned, the Battery Park, and how we relate to that. Bethesda Trolley Trail, how we can improve that and make that more of an amenity for this neighborhood. And then you'll see we have an internal loop road, we have through block connections. All of that, I think, helps to unify and make the final character of this neighborhood. Originally, when we first started out, we had our architectural teams test what's the maximum build-out for this. It was going to be 2,000 units, all in high-rises. We thought about that and said, that may be the maximum, but it's not the optimum. Let's scale that back and provide a diverse mix of building forms and housing choices. So you'll see high-rise and mid-rise and units that are accessible from the street as a mix of what we're proposing. I think that creates more value and will endure over a longer period of time than just trying to go for the most density. So that's probably enough for me. I know you want to hear from the architects. Go ahead and scroll through this. You'll see something. Yeah, this just shows where it exists. The property
this starts us off at Wisconsin Avenue with the, this is the existing neighborhood today with the model we've been working with. And you'll see labels come up with the left and right as we go west. We're going to go all the way down to Old Georgetown Road, turn around, then come back. The brown buildings, Site B you'll see on the left, Site A is coming up shortly. They're pretty much all the same. They're four-story brown brick. They have blue awning out front, and they have a vehicular drop-off eyebrow out front as we go down the street. The sidewalk is right behind the curb. So this is the existing, just walk you down the neighborhood if you haven't been out there recently. Come up on the left, you'll see the park, and then which is our Site D, 4949 batteries to the right. This gives you, these are the existing condo buildings that are further west. And then this is the 5015 Battery Lane, which is the other brown park building on the right as we approach Old Georgetown Road. And now we're going to turn around and come back. Doug did mention, you see all the brown buildings are the same. One thing we do want to do is, going forward, architecturally, materials, etc., contribute to that organic neighborhood that they are different in the future. So that's existing, to give everyone a, and then what we've done is we've added our buildings in. We're going to start at Woodmont and Battery Lane. This is Site B as it's labeled. We're showing, this is a walk down the new sidewalk streetscape. We're showing the buildings as glass boxes since we're not in final architecture yet. We're going to stop at a couple points and turn. This is the Site C, and this, as we turn, this is going to be a loop road, which you'll hear about shortly. This is one of the mid-block connections that's outlined in the master plan, and we'll continue past Site C, and then there's a loop road that goes back behind this building, and again, there's a second mid-block. This is shown the Bethesda streetscape. relationship of the sidewalk to curb has changed. This is the other part of the loop road. Again, this would be a pedestrian. At the end of this, there'd be a pedestrian mid-block connection. Here we go back to the existing sidewalk configuration on our neighbor. The park is to the left. As we turn and cross the street, this would be the envisioned future Bethesda trolley trail connection with NIH, and how that's enhanced with the bike or cycle track and the pedestrian walk with the building massing. Again, glassed in since we're at sketch plan concept stage. You'll hear shortly this building is envisioned to have doors and stoops on the street. Showing some lead walks that go to a building. We cross back against this, across the street, we're going to come down to site E. We transition, once we get past or west of the park, we transition to a different sidewalk and streetscape, where this is a concrete sidewalk, a tree panel that matches with the existing street and relates to that a little bit better as we go further west with, to the existing existing condition. We're going to turn around and take a view back to back down the street. So with that, we're going to go back to the slide deck. We're going to just go through A, B, C, D, and E with each of the architects. So D and C is up first with Jeff and Kim.
I have a question. And I don't know if you guys are thinking the same thing, but I'm wondering how we talk about this.
Yeah.
Because we could probably spend all day today just talking about urban design and not getting into any architecture. And so, you know, obviously we're going to get a lot of architecture. And so how do we talk about that, and how do we review that in the context of you know, having, what, two and a half hours?
Can we provide overall comments first for the whole project and then go through?
Well, that's one idea.
Later on.
Yeah. I mean, because it's really... I mean, you know, the parent Battery Lane's supposed to be a neighborhood connector, right? So, like, for instance, what are all the setbacks of all these buildings from Battery Lane? You know, are they the full 20 to 25 feet, or are they less than that? You know, what's the vision of Battery Lane? What's the vision of the park? What's the vision of the two parks, actually? And, you know, what's the vision of the open space and how they relate to the greater vision of the community, the open space for each of these buildings. So kind of the overarching idea before, you know, I mean, almost before we get actually into the building so that we get it. I mean, the only thing I heard from our introduction was, you know, character. But I didn't hear anything about the character. Mixed income, multi-generational, 25% MPDUs, 2,000, I don't know what 2,000 units means, you know, as far as square footage, and I think that's what we should be relating to is the overall square footage. And then the amenities and connections, obviously, is a very big deal up in this area. So, you know, we should probably be understanding that, and you know, and then even getting into the architecture, you know, you would I think it would suggest this plan, if we look at it, that building B would be the gateway building of this entire street. It is what you see first coming off of either Woodmont or Wisconsin, and so that's going to dictate essentially the vision of this whole neighborhood, in my opinion. And yet, I think you suggested that that was the very last phase. And so, you know, again, it would be good to understand, you know, sort of the greater vision. Have you looked at, I mean, I've suggested a few times about Garage 35. Have you guys looked at all about incorporating that into the plan? Because I think that is a, I mean, that's almost a freebie, if you will, as far as you know, the problem of trying to acquire that and working with others. You know, are there connection through block, I know the loop road, but are there through block connections that you might be suggesting because you have so much land that might start to tie some of these streets together in what currently are obviously are extremely large super blocks? Anyway, I don't know how do we do that?
If I jump in, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to jump in as well, if you don't mind. I'm Nancy Reglin, I'm the zoning attorney. So Paul, actually each of the architecture groups are going to talk about their sites in context. There's very little architecture here. We're really talking about the site improvements and the open space and the connections. So that's what you're going to hear the architects talk about. So I think you're going to get a lot of that feedback that you want, the information that you're looking for, including sizes of buildings and how many units and all of that. So maybe if we let them run through them pretty quickly, we'll get to those details.
I would also add, I mean, this is a huge project. This is the biggest, I mean, this is one of the biggest projects I've ever dealt with in my time here. This is not the only time at Sketchplan that the DAP is going to see this project. I think going through, you know, if the presentations are concise and they can get through everything in about a half an hour, I think you all will be able to identify what the issues are. And if you're not satisfied with their urban design approach for the whole thing, I think that's something to talk about. And if you want to see the sites, the individual sites come back, I think those are, all of those options are open to you. I don't think you need to feel like you need to wrap this up today.
Yeah, and if I may, and I did gloss it very quickly because we have 30 minutes,
right.
But let me just clarify two things. The 2,000 units we tested for, what we're presenting is less than that, 1,498 units. We, like I said, we optimized, not maximized. So I want to make sure everyone understands mm-hmm. that. Secondly, we've had numerous conversations with the parking lot district about that garage over the last 10 years, and it's been hot and cold, their interest. We will continue to have those discussions. We recognize it would be, I think, a real opportunity if we could make that happen.
Yeah, so I think if we go through each of the sites real quick, we've told each one, architect, 3-5 minutes.
Okay.
Big overview, the abbreviated slide set here, which will highlight that. Then maybe we do come back to this overall district plan and outline, particularly some of the major elements.
That'd
of
be great.
The plan.
Thanks.
Gary, thank you, and Sandra Palliser panel. Really appreciate your consideration of our project today. I'd like to introduce Kim Centrone, project architect, working on 4857 for us. My name is Jeff Fuller, principal in charge of the project for PNC Architects. 15 plus years ago, I used to spend a lot of evenings in this room when I was a commissioner and chair of the HPC. Down here with more different hats these days. Basically, we're a commercial architecture multifamily firm. One of the important things to recognize on this is really following on your comments. You'll see that what we're presenting are really massing in concept. We intentionally shied away from presenting architecture at this stage because we really wanted to get the community input and the design advisory panels input before we got into the buildings themselves. So what we're going to be presenting is how we got to where we are through what we viewed as the design determinants. How our projects fit together. So, Kim.
Okay, so as Josh said, Kim Centrone, DNC Architects. Thank you for being here with us this morning. I am working on 4857, which is proposed to be the first phase. It is the smallest site. It's only 1 acre, and it's about 115 feet wide and 360 feet long, but it is close to the most impactful intersection, which, as you mentioned earlier, your phase is right up on the corner. But 4857 is visible from Woodmont Ave, the front and the back. If you're looking down Woodmont off of Wisconsin Ave, you see the back of the building as well. And the back of the building has views to NIH and this pond on the NIH campus, which is really quite pretty. And the site slopes down about
start with this building as the first one to correct the problem that's there, start to generate additional units, so that as we work our way down the street, we're never creating a huge deficit.
Right, so we're at 110 units with the proposed plan versus the 50 that are existing now. They have a large service parking lot in the rear right now. We're going to replace that with green space. So over here behind the Children's Inn is a 5-foot-wide public access easement. We're going to take advantage of that and create our 10% public open space at the back of the building overlooking the NIH campus and the pond. Up on top of the end of the parking deck is our resident amenity green space. So there can be an opportunity for interaction between the public space and the private resident space, but also some privacy and separation between the two.
What's the elevation of that public, the private space, like how far above?
Yeah. It's just under 2 stories.
Okay. You see it?
Yeah, right here. We'll have to work out the exact grades as we get into it and figure out if we want to transition planting.
Not to rush anyone, but I can continue everyone along.
Okay,
here.
Yeah.
Since I'm also.
Thank you for consideration, yes. And we're ready to step up after the questions.
Just one quick question. It's not really about the design, but what kind of construction would this building be using? What type?
Either going to be, because of the green roofs, we're not going to be wood frame. So it's either going to be a less expensive concrete or it's going to be a steel frame type of structure. We don't have the opportunity in these buildings with the green roofs to have wood frame. But the objective is to try to keep this less expensive than the high rises.
Setback on the left?
So there is no required setback, but we're at 20 feet.
Thank you again.
Okay, so I'm David Kitchens, partner in charge of the Alexandria, Virginia office of Cooper Perry. We have been working in Bethesda since the early 90s, starting at Bethesda Road and working through the 90s on that. Moving up to today, we're working on the old police station site with the Hammerstead office building. We are really excited to be invited to work on this effort because, as I was telling George earlier, it's a great chance to create an urban district, but you don't find opportunities like that when you're doing a lot of small infill in an emerging urban commercial area of Montgomery County that has lots of small lots on it. And so we have a chance to work on blocks B and C, and so I want to collectively kind of run through both of those really quick. And as Paul pointed out a minute ago, Site B is probably the prominent block on this, and while I don't want to call it a gateway, that's a no-no word on the team, but if Battery Lane has a 100% corner, this intersection is probably it. More prominent coming from the north to the south, as was just previously discussed, as you come around the curve here, and that really is a corner there. And so it really begins, it will affect in the future what the architectural design does really kind of propagate here. But B is the entrance on the Battery Lane, and I think there's some important things that this is probably, you can say that you want this Battery Lane to fill very much like an urban residential district. This building has an opportunity to probably be the most urban of all the buildings that you'll see on Battery Lane. So next slide. So we are able to build up to 160 foot of maximum height with our bonus densities here. And we feel like that because this is probably one of the latter phases, or maybe the latter phase, so we want to take every opportunity to get all of that. And so this will be a very urban building. There's discussions that you'll see as I also go through block C, is that where do we enter this building? How does it sit on the site? Does its ultimate design emphasize the corner? Is it asymmetrical? Is it symmetrical? A couple of things that we do know is that we do believe that it occupies an iconic corner and then begins to relate and set the trend for what happens as you go down Battery Lane. Next slide. From a plan standpoint, and I previously didn't so that you don't have all these drives that occur on Battery Lane anymore. We collect them all on the side streets, the alleyways, and the drives, when we can. So next slide. So as you see the site plan, you begin to see that we generally set up